Good morning. You know, I was thinking, just came in my heart, can we sing one song with actions that we sing with our young people every morning, Sunday morning? Because, you know, I really believe that the Lord wants to release us in worship, you know, because sometimes it feels like we're in a cemetery, you know, just even though when we sing songs about, you know, happiness or, you know, the joy of the Lord, and I really believe the Lord wants to release us in worship, you know, so that we could glorify God with our whole spirit, soul, and body. And this is what Israel did, and we can read about it in the book of Psalms. You know, they rejoiced in the Lord, you know, they clapped hands, they glorified their creator. So, and I don't think we're in a, you know, in a terrible conditions that we, you know, we cannot do it. It's not about, you know, in my subject what I wanted to speak, but I just really felt in my heart to do it. And just remember, Paul and Silas, they were in the most terrible conditions in prison. Remember, after they preached the gospel, they were beaten up, they were put in prison, and they had shackles on their feet. They had, you know, their hands were chained. And but what did they do? Do you remember? They sang praises to God. It was a real sacrifice of praise to God, you know. They sang out loud. They sang to the Lord so loudly that other prisoners heard them. And do you remember what happened after they did it? God sent earthquake. You know, I can imagine it. You know, God looked at his children in prison, being in shackled. You know, you cannot imagine any worse condition than that. But they were bringing sacrifice of praise to God. They were singing to God. And God, you know, he couldn't just stand there, you know, by looking at them and not doing anything. So he came and delivered them. And the Bible says that the shackles, you know, the chains, fell off not only of Paul and Silas' hands and feet, but what does it say? Others were also set free. You know, the doors of prisons opened in a supernatural way, and we need to remember that our God is a supernatural God, and he wants to release us. He wants to set people free, and I believe one of the ways that he does it is when we praise him, we give him sacrifice of praise. So can we sing one song? Can we all stand up, please, and just one more song? And I believe it will do something for us, something good for us spiritually. And the words of this song, you probably know the song. It goes like this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it, and there are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. And then the chorus goes, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can we sing it together? Okay. I'll be showing actions. So I will not have a microphone, so let's sing together. you. Thank you. That was good. That's why I love Africans, because they know how to praise God. You know, it's my dream to go to African church, you know, or to, you know, like black church in America. I know they have many churches, so it's my dream, or when we come to Africa, just to praise God with those people, because they know how to praise God with their spirit, soul, and bodies, and God blesses them. And I know, I believe it honors the Lord. And God said, whoever brings thank offering, or in the Russian Bible says, whoever brings sacrifice of praise, he honors me, God says, and he prepares the way of salvation. I believe when we start praising God like this, with our spirit, soul, and body, you know, not worrying, not thinking about how people will think about us, you know, but really worshiping the Lord, praising him, I believe we'll experience more and more freedom in our lives, spiritual freedom. So, I'll just pray shortly. Lord, thank you so much for this time. Father God, thank you for this great privilege to speak your word to your bride, to your precious bride, to your church that you loved so much, that you died for her, to love her, to bring her into relationships with you, Lord Jesus. And we ask you, Father, please bless our time together in your word. Please speak to us, Father. You told us in your word, open your mouth and I will fill it. So, Father, as I open my mouth, just fill it with your word and speak to each one of our hearts, Lord, and reveal your presence. Reveal your presence in the midst of us, because we don't want just to play church, Father, and do nice talks, but we really want to encounter you, Lord Jesus. We need you. We need your presence. We need to encounter you, Father. We need to touch our lives. We need to change our lives, Father, through your word, through your love, through your life, through your Holy Spirit. So please, Holy Spirit, come and move among us. Move among us, Holy Spirit. Touch people's hearts. Heal the brokenhearted. Heal the wounds. Set the captives free, Father. In Jesus' name, let every yoke of bondage be broken in Jesus' name by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we call on your name, Lord Jesus. We ask you, please, just do your mighty work in our lives. Change our lives, Father. In Jesus' name, be glorified. Amen. Okay, I'm supposed to talk on the subject of loving others. And the Bible says that God is love. He has power, but he is love. And what God is much more important than what he has. And the Bible says that God, who is love, created us human beings as objects of love. So we cannot survive without love. We are love creations of a loving God. And but of course we know that sin interfered and separated and us from God and broke these loving relationships that we had, that we people, human beings, had with our Father. Now we see the world in a broken condition. We see the results of these broken relationships. We see the broken world with broken people, broken marriages, broken promises, broken lives. We see world full of hurt, drug addiction, alcoholism, child abuse, you know, sexual immorality, suicide, depression, and this is the result of people not having relationships with the loving God. So we all need God. And actually, Paul writing to in Timothy, he said, he actually put it this way. He described this, the last days that we live in. He said it like this. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. In 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. And Jesus also adds, he says in Matthew 24, 12, and because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. And it applies to us Christians also. We live in the last days and we see you know, all this wickedness, and the Bible says that even we Christians, you know, it can affect us, you know, that our love can grow cold. But I believe that this is what makes a true trademark of a true disciple of Jesus, of us, you know, Christians, is our love walk. So, and we, as children of God, we who came to know God, you know, we believed in His love, the Bible says. And now God wants us to be channels of His love to other people. He wants to reach out to other people through the love of God, which was shed abroad into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5 says. And in Colossians 1:27, the Bible says that Christ in us, the hope of glory. And what does Christ do in us? He loves other people through us. He loves other. He wants to reach out to other people through us. He wants to reach out to people to bring them back to God, who is love, so that their relationships with God can be restored and that their void can be filled. Like David says, you know, deep calls unto deep. And our human heart is like a bottomless pit. You know, it cannot be filled by anything else. Human love is not an answer, because if human love was enough, if it was an answer, then we would not have such a messed up world. But we know that human love is very shallow, it's limited, it's selfish, it seeks its own rights, it can easily turn into anger, to hatred, you know. Even mother's love can be very selfish. Mother can say, this is my baby, you know. And the other day we watched a program with Gina on TV about... there was a show, you know, like a talk show, and there was this mother who just was full of hate for her son-in-law because he stole her baby, he stole her daughter. So this mother who loved her daughter so much, you know, but her love was very selfish, you know. She couldn't release her daughter, you know, to this young man who married her, and she was full of hate. She couldn't even look at her son-in-law and at her grandchild. So of course the human love is not an answer, but we know that God's love is an answer. And I was thinking about how can we practically love people, how can we practically show love to other people. And well, we know that we're supposed to love them, but how do we do it? And I just thought of three simple things how we can practically love people. And Jesus, our great example. And how did He love people? Well, He loved them with thoughts, word, and action. And we are called to love people with our thinking first, with our words, and with our actions. And why is it important to think good about people, to love them with our thoughts? Because the Bible says in Proverbs that as a man thinketh, so is he. So if we think bad, negative thoughts about other people, then our attitude will be wrong. We won't be able to say good words to them, and we won't be able to reach them out in Christ's love. There is a story in the Bible, in Matthew 19. We can see example of Jesus, how Jesus treated people. Story about Zacchaeus. I'm sorry, it's in Luke 19. I'll just read this story. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. So what do we see here? How did Jesus think about people? Zacchaeus was a notorious sinner. He was a tax collector who were very much hated by the society, by Israelis, because they worked for the Roman government, so they were perceived like betrayers. And he cheated people. He was very wealthy. He cheated people on tax. He took more money than he was supposed to take. So, you know, people were very, these kind of people were very much hated by the society. But what did Jesus do? How did he think of him? We can see in the story that he highly esteemed him. He didn't say any bad word to him. He didn't put finger to his sin or how he treated others. But he to me, this story shows that he uplifted him. You know, he built him up. He said, Zacchaeus, he called him by name, today I'm supposed to be eating dinner at your house. And Zacchaeus, I believe he was astonished, you know. He knew he was a bad man. He knew he was teaching people. He knew that he was a sinner. But then, experienced this great love and mercy from Jesus, who he knew was a holy man. So that touched him. This love shown to him just changed his life and totally, you know, transformed him. And he said, Lord, you know, whatever I cheated, if I took, you know, anything from people, I will repay back four times. So we see that Jesus, he highly esteemed people. He thought good things about them. He actually, he saw them as masterpieces of God's creation. You know, one day I was watching Russian news on TV, and they showed an auction in London, and they were selling this one painting by Malevich, Russian painter, Russian artist, Malevich. I think it's called Square, or, you know, it's very strange painting to me. It's worth nothing, you know, like, I don't understand how people value it, but it's a very simple painting. I mean, my daughter can do it, just some circle and some squares, you know. But anyway, this painting was sold at auction in London for $60 million. I was shocked. I was talking to our Bible study group on Wednesday. I asked them, do you know how much is a human life worth? Do you know how much you are worth, like each one of you? I told them, said, well, maybe $100,000, you know, maybe $1 million, said no, much more. Said, well, maybe $1 billion, said no, much more. And I said, actually, you know, you are priceless. You are priceless. Each one of you are priceless in God's eyes. If you put on a scale one human life, just one human soul, and what can you put on another scale, you know, to make it equal, to measure it? And I told them the answer is Jesus, because that was the price that God paid for each one of us, Jesus Christ, his only son. So that's how we're precious to him. And we should perceive people, we should look at them through the same eyes, you know. We should think of them as priceless creations of God, as like masterpieces of God, you know, who created them and signed his name under, you know, each of his creations, and he signed it by the blood of his son. So we're priceless to him, and that's how we should approach people, with the same kind of attitude. Okay, how else we can love people? We can love them with our words. And again, how did Jesus treat people? What words did he use? Did he condemn people? No, he never condemned people. One time, there was a woman caught in adultery, and she was supposed to be stoned to death. And the religious leaders brought her to Jesus, and they were testing Jesus, you know, seeing what he will say. And you know the story. He said, well, who of you is without sin? Throw a stone at her. So, of course, nobody could do it, because they were convicted by, you know, they were convicted by the Holy Spirit that they're all sinners. So, and Jesus asked her, woman, nobody has condemned you? No one, Lord. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Go in peace and sin no more. So Jesus never used his words to judge people or to condemn people or to put them down, and we should do the same. And Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, it says that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So with our words we can either sow life or death, and it affects as our lives and our lives those around us, especially our children, our family, our loved ones. So we should use our words to bless people, to build them up, to uplift people, you know, to encourage people, and never tear them down, never put them down. Okay, just find my notes. Job said to his so-called friends, "How long will you torment me and crush me with words?" So words, our words can crush people. Words bless or words curse. Words heal or words make us sick. Words we hear in the morning will linger with us the whole day long. And it's especially important to know for us husbands and wives. Every word we speak can be a brick to build with or a bulldozer to destroy. And Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." In Proverbs 16:24, it says, "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." So we should use our words to bless people and to bring healing to them. And we can tell them the truth of God's word, because it's the truth that sets men free. So I believe that when we think loving thoughts about people, and when we say loving words about people, then we can have this attitude, you know, the right attitude towards people, and then we can reach them with Christ's love. And love believes the best of every person. So we can always find something good in every person. You know, there is a true story that I read in one of the devotions about one very bad man who lived in town. He was the meanest man. He lived the most miserable life, and nobody could say anything good about him. Nobody. But there was one older man who in his life never spoke even one word about anybody. So people never heard any one bad word about anybody. So then one day this bad man died, and all people came to the funeral. There was this dead man lying, and, you know, like at funeral, people say something, you know, about the person who died. But, you know, there was nobody in the crowd who could say anything good about the person, because he really was the meanest person in town. So, everyone was waiting for this old man to come and waiting. Well, what he will say? What, you know, what he will say about this man? So finally, this man came, and they asked him, "What will you say about this man?" This old man came. He looked at this dead man in a casket. He looked and looked. He stood for a long time. Then suddenly, someone got impatient and asked him, "Well, what will you say, you know, about him?" And the man said, "Well, he sure had pretty teeth." So, you know, he found some good thing about that person, and we should do the same. You know, we should find something good about people. It cannot be, you know, just all bad. So it will help our love walk. So, because love believes the best of every person. And love covers a multitude of sins. That's how God showed mercy to us and covered our multitude of sins with his love. So we should do the same towards others. I think I should say this also. You know, I hear quite often I hear Christians like condemning, you know, like people like we consider, society considers, you know, notorious sinners like homosexuals, you know, child abusers, or whatever. But this is mostly what I hear Christians sometimes, you know, speaking negatively, you know, about this kind of people. But I believe we should love all people, no matter what they do. We should not have any prejudices, you know, against people. And Jesus, he always looked beyond the sinful action, the sinful act. He looked to the, he looked much deeper. He looked to the heart of man. He looked to the reason behind the action. So when he sees people, he sees everything. You know, he sees the whole life. I believe from the you know, time they were born, and he understands what happened, what formed people's life. You know, what happened. You know, very often when people, you know, are behaving like this, like what we mentioned, you know, very often in their lives and their childhood, something terrible happened, some trauma happened. You know, they were maybe molested or they were sexually abused, and that's what, you know, that's what formed them. I mean, that's how, that's what influenced them. They became broken. It opened the door for the enemy to come in and, you know, and just destroy their lives. And then they grow up and they're messed up in life and they don't know any better. So that's why Jesus told us to love, you know, the unlovables, to love our enemies. So, okay, third, we can love others with our actions. And Jesus said in Matthew 5, 13 through 16, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And 1 John 3:18 says, "Let us not love merely in theory or in speech, but in deed and in truth, in practice and in sincerity." And Jesus said, when we feed the hungry, when we clothe the naked, when we visit prisoners, when we comfort those who are sick and, you know, and pray for their healing, do something about their sickness, we do it for the Lord. We do it for Him. And we can use our time, talents, possessions to bless other people. And not just Christians, but to bless other people. You know, God, when God called Abraham, He called him to, He said, "I will bless you. And you will be a blessing to many nations." So God blesses us so that we can, in return, be a blessing to other people. It can be, you know, summed up in this one phrase: we receive a blessing and we pass it on. Freely we receive, freely we give. And Jesus tells us in Luke 16:9, He says, "I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings." And we need to remember that we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of it. By blessing others with our personal possessions, we are storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven that will never rust, rot, or be stolen. And by this we can learn to love people and use things instead of loving things and using people. So these three areas, we talked about these three areas, loving, how we can practically love people in our thoughts, words, and actions. And Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, 1, it tells us to eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love, to make it our aim, our great quest. So by loving others with our thoughts, words, and actions, we will soon discover that it not only blesses the receiver, but it blesses the giver too. And do we still have time? Have some many thoughts. I just thought that I'll try to share very quickly what can practically help our love walk. Because, you know, as I said, we know that we're supposed to love people. But I was thinking, how can we practically do it, and what can help us in love walk? We just looked at things, how we can love people, but now I would just want to just quickly go through what can help us in our love walk. Well, first, by staying connected to God, abiding in the vine. And when we abide in the vine, the first fruit that we produce is love. And by making sure that our vertical relationships with God are healthy and cultivated, because then we can have healthy relationships on a horizontal level. That's what, so let the cross remind us, you know. First, we have vertical relationships with God. That's why Jesus said, love God. First, he told us, love God with all your heart, your soul, you know, mind, your strength. And then love others as yourself. So we must be, we must stay connected to God, who is the source of love. Second, what I thought would help our love walk is by knowing who we are in Christ, so that we can have a right self-image and healthy self-esteem. Because Jesus said, "Love others as yourself." So we must love ourselves in a healthy way. Because if we don't know who we are in Christ, if we have low self-esteem, this is what we'll give to other people. We won't be able to communicate love in a healthy way to other people, because we can give what we have. If we think better about ourselves, this is what we'll give to other people. This is how they will feel about themselves. And of course, if we are proud or arrogant, this is what we'll, you know, that this is what other people will sense from us. So we need to understand who we are in Christ. And Jesus, he knew who he was the Son of God, where he was coming from, and where he was going. So it will help us greatly in our love walk to understand who we are, that we are God's children, we are loved by the Father, we are free to receive his love and to give it to others. What else can help us in our love walk? By being real and authentic, without pretense and wearing masks. Because God wants to reach out to others through who we really are, you know, through genuine person who we are, who he made us to be, not being somebody else, because it will block the love of God flowing through us. By understanding that love is not a feeling, it has nothing to do with feelings. You know, feelings change like weather changes. So we need to walk by faith and not by feelings. And love is a choice that we make. We choose to love people because God told us, he commanded us that we need to love others as ourselves. And Jesus was not moved with feelings. And I'll just share quickly one story. Remember when John the Baptist was beheaded, when he was killed? Do you remember the story? When Jesus heard about this, if he was moved with feelings, if Jesus was moved with feelings, can you imagine what his reaction would be when his closest friend, we can say about John the Baptist, and not just friend, he was his cousin, and he was the first person who really understood Jesus, who received revelation from God the Father about Jesus, who Jesus was. So it was the only person who at that time understood Jesus. And that closest person, his relative, his co-worker, was brutally killed in just some drunkard party. So what do you think Jesus' reaction was? He was not moved by feelings. When this happened, the Bible says that he withdrew himself. He went to a solitary place. He prayed. I mean, he spent time with God. Then it says, the Bible says that he came back. And, you know, people, they were looking for him. And he, you know, if he was ruled by feelings, he could say, well, people, can you leave me alone sometime? You know, I feel bad. I just lost my best friend. But he didn't do it. He overcame evil with good. And because he was connected to God, he was not moved by feelings. The Bible says that he healed their sick. He was moved with compassion, and he turned this tragedy, this evil, he turned it into great victory. He healed people, the Bible says. You can read this story later. It's in Matthew 14, 6 through 14. So we need to walk in the Spirit, and we need to walk in faith. This will help our love walk in a great way. What else can help us in our love walk? When we understand that we do it for the Lord and not for people only. We choose to love others for the Lord. We do it for God. The Bible says, everything you do, do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. Because people will not always be nice to us. You know, they will not always treat us in a good way. They might reject us. But when we know that we do it not for people, but for the Lord, because it pleases him, it brings him happiness, and we shall receive great reward. Also, by understanding that when we sow love, we shall reap love in our lives. We shall reap the great harvest of love in our lives. This is the spiritual law. Given, it shall be given to you. So when we give love to others, it will be given back to us with greater measure. E.W. Kenyon, one author, called agape love a new kind of selfishness. You don't seek your own interest any longer, but your success is guaranteed because love never fails. And somebody else said, when we get interested in other people, God gets interested in us. The last moment, last point is, by understanding what can help our love walk, by understanding that we are on a battlefield where there is war going on for the souls of men, and that our enemies are not the people. People are not our enemies. So in our flesh, our war is not against flesh and blood, but we know what we war against powers, principalities, rulers of darkness, evil spirits, Satan and his power and his evil forces. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, the Bible says that the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the eyes of people so that they would not come to the knowledge of truth and be saved. That's why I believe that the greatest expression of God's love for others is when we preach the gospel to people, when we tell them about God's love, when we tell them the truth of God's word, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who will believe. So I personally believe this is the greatest expression of God's love to other people, when we reach out to people and share with them the gospel of Christ. And that's the reason why the Holy Spirit comes upon us. In Acts 1:8 it says, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you, so that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the ends of the ends of the earth. And the same Holy Spirit has come upon us to be His effective witnesses. And the most effective way, to bring kingdom of God to people and bring people into the kingdom of God is by our love walk, God's love flowing through us, by thinking good about people, by saying good things about them, and by acting in love towards them. So Jesus is too good to be kept for ourselves. He died for the whole world, and we need to share Him with others. He's the living bread that can satisfy the hunger of human heart. And in Romans 8, 19-23, the Bible says that the whole creation is groaning and is waiting for the children of God, the sons and daughters of God, to be revealed so that they can be freed, they can be freed from their captivity to devil. Okay, that's it. I brought this picture, took this picture when we went to War Memorial, just to remind us about the Good Samaritan, that we're all called to be, this Good Samaritan. This is Mr. Simpson on the donkey. So I just thought it was a good symbol for all of us to remind us that we need to, reach out to people, wounded people like Mr. Simpson. He went to the battlefield, as you all know, probably, with his donkey, to rescue wounded people. And, we're called to do the same. We're called to rescue people from spiritual death, from eternal death. And like Good Samaritan was given, he had 2 denarii, 2 coins that he gave to the innkeeper, to take care of the person. We've all been given these 2 denarii. We all have these 2 coins. We have the Word of God, and we have the Holy Spirit. So God gave us all that we need to reach out to people, and He's given us His love. I'll finish by this story that came to my mind. It's a true story. Remember when Titanic, this big ship, when it sank? I heard the story that there was a man, a Scottish priest, Scottish preacher, on that ship, and he was also, he was also in water when Titanic already drowned. He was in water, And he was trying to rescue other people who were also in water. He was he would, you know, just come to people, swim to people, ask him, "Are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Do you know Jesus? Are you born again?" That's a true story that I heard about this man. So I thought, wow, you know, God in his love and his mercy, he sent his child, he sent his servant to that ship because God knew that it was gonna, he knows everything, he knew that it was gonna sink, drown. So he sent his servant on that ship to reach out to other people, to tell them about Jesus. And the whole world is sinking. The whole world is sinking in sin, you know, in death. So we are called to reach them out with God's love in us. Okay. So I'll pray now. Then I want to give you opportunity to some of you who don't know the Lord, who maybe, you know, have not accepted the Lord yet. So I want to give you this opportunity to invite Jesus into your heart so that you can experience his love, his forgiveness, and receive gift of eternal life. Because later on we'll be taking communion. And, well, first we need to meet with the Lord. We need to invite the Lord in our heart before we can take the communion and participate, you know, in his, in taking the communion, in participating in his, taking his blood and his, in his flesh. So there will be song playing now, and after I pray, and if you need prayer for healing, whether it's, you know, physical healing, or you have broken heart, if you need touch from God, you can just come here, and we'll pray for you. We'll lay hands on you, and we'll pray for you, believing God with you for healing. So I just want to give you this opportunity. If you want to come, just feel free to come while this song will be playing, and we'll be praying for you. And if you want to receive Jesus, come here. We'll pray for you so that you can receive Jesus. We want to give you this opportunity. So I'll just pray quickly. Lord, thank you for this time in the Word. Teach us, Lord, what it means to love others, and help us, Lord, be your channel of love to other people and reach them with Christ's love in us. Help us, Lord, to be bold in reaching out to others, not being afraid, because the perfect love casts out every fear. And thank you, Lord, that you've given us this ministry of reconciliation, reconciling man to God. So anoint us, Lord, anoint us with your Holy Spirit, with your power, and send us out, Lord, to reach out our neighbors, people at our work, at our schools, and to the ends of the earth with your love in us. In Jesus' name, and help us, Lord, not to limit you, not to put you in a box by our human thinking and by our unbelief, but, Lord, just help us be available for you and just trust in you and believe in everything that you said in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so if you want a prayer, there will be song playing now, and I'll wait here. We'll be praying for healing, for touch of God for your heart, for your soul. And if you want to receive Jesus, please come here.